مدنی مذاکرہ ہے شریعت کا خزینہ، اخلاق کا، تہذیب کا، طریقت کا خزینہ۔ مدنی مذاکرہ ہے، مدنی مذاکرہ، مدنی مذاکرہ ہے، مدنی مذاکرہ۔
الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین، اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم۔ صلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ، صلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ۔ نویت سنت الاعتکاف۔
My dear Islamic brothers, when you get the honor to enter a masjid, you must make intention of performing اعتکاف. Intention refers to the determination by heart. Making intention of i'tikaf by heart suffices mu'takif. It would be better to say, I make intention of i'tikaf whilst keeping the intention in heart. Or say in Arabic, Nawaitu sunnat al-i'tikaf, if you understand its meaning. Got this? As per Sharia, it is impermissible to eat something, drink water, or take sahri or iftar in the masjid. If you make intention of performing i'tikaf, then it will become permissible. Saying of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam, the one who forgets to send durood upon me forgets the way to the paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, this is the second night of Rabiul Nur 1433 Hijri. From the very first lunar night till the 12th night, there will be Madani Muzakirah conducted daily, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's make good intentions so that we will be blessed with more reward. The intention will benefit if you make it from the core of your heart and you're determined to execute it. If I make you intend, I'll attend Madani Muzakirah from the very beginning to the end, and you make this intention but you have decided to leave after 1 hour, your intention is invalid because you have intended to leave after 1 hour. Intend only for the time you wish to stay. Similarly, in other affairs in which you can't make the intention, then do not intend for them. Make the intentions as per your state and do so accordingly. You must intend to please Allah Azza wa Jal and earn reward, otherwise you don't get reward. Without good intention, you're not rewarded. Like, you arrived for relishing or listening to slogans of marhaba. By the way, people relish during these days, thus quantity of the audience increases. They attend procession and naat program. Just for enjoyment, they attend such programs. They enjoy sometimes and sometimes not. They comment, why this person recited naat? I didn't enjoy. Had he recited, I would have enjoyed more. Just giving an example. It is said, generally, this is really misfortune. If having heard the name of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, someone says, I didn't feel solace. Keep silent if somebody does not get spiritual feeling. If the naat reciting brother gets to know that you did not like the naat in his voice, then he will be hurt and offended. This is another matter. Furthermore, if you speak more, you will criticize his voice. Definitely, this is backbiting. Speaking less brings peace. Think before speaking. May we act upon this. In the court of Holy Prophet, neither voice nor style is important, but it's heart that counts. Who recites it from the heart? All of you should make good intentions. If you make good intentions, you'll get reward as well. You see, the thing is, good intention is the essence of deed. It's the foundation. This is why Satan does not let anyone pay heed and entices one to avoid making good intentions. You know, intentions are the soul. There's no question of anybody getting reward without making good intention. It is also possible that a comer has already made intention by himself. It's not like that the one who comes late doesn't make any intention. Ma'adallah, I don't mean it. I am saying it for your persuasion. Now, like the way I've come, so I have to go up the stairs too, so I have to make the intention that I will recite Allahu Akbar whilst going up and Subhanallah whilst coming down, and I had to sit on an animal's hide. I deliver bayan after sitting on a piece of animal's hide, so I had to make intention of sitting on it in order to get humbleness. Then sitting facing the Qibla is mostly sunnah, but my back is towards the Qibla. So for the one who preaches, it is sunnah for him to keep his back towards the Qibla. So I have to make this intention. I've already recited Hamd and Salah. Even if I recite this without intention, I won't get reward. I also had to intend for reciting Hamd and Salat. I will recite Salat ala Nabi. I will mention the excellence of Salat ala Nabi. I will make others intend for i'tikaf. Alhamdulillah, I have already made these intentions and the others that I remembered by the grace of Almighty Allah. One can get reward on each and every step if he makes good intention. This act will be classed as habit, not a worship. To make this act as a worship, intention to please Allah is must. You should always keep this point in your mind. You have to intend even for salam. 16th volume of Bahari Shariat starts with the topic of intentions, that what to intend before salam. There should be an intention before making salam. We forget about it. Before paying salam, you should always keep in your mind that honor, life and wealth of the person who you are paying salam is haram upon you, because honor, life and wealth of a Muslim are haram on the other Muslim, right? So now, the subject of his permissibility when somebody has a right has further details. What it means here is that to take it without permissibility is haram. I'll make intentions for myself and you too make intentions for yourself. Let's make intentions on our own. I make good intentions to seek the pleasure of Allah and earn reward. From start till end, I will attend the Madani Muzakara. I will avoid uselessly scratching body, clothes, beard, etc. I'll avoid clawing threads from prayer mats and moving fingers playfully on the floor. They keep playing with fingers. I told them many times, but they habitually do it without realizing. Some people keep playing and cleaning their nails. When they make supplication, they often take grime out of nails. Satan involves them in this. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. A is essence of worship. It is great worship to make supplication, but Satan diverts attention. They do this. They see like this. They are completely lacking in concentration. Satan does not let them pray, as it is a great worship. You know, many people would face this thing. You would have an idea. It'll take time to get rid of this habit. Once you make mindset, then you'll get rid of it. My advice is not just enough. I made you make intentions once or twice. It is not possible that you would memorize all the intentions. You should make the intentions again and again with full concentration. If you look everywhere, call somebody, keep this thing or pull that thing, then you cannot make intention. It's not possible. Thus, if you make good intentions by keeping eyes closed and head down with concentration, inshallah azzawajal, your intentions will be up to par. I will avoid talking, leaning with wall, keeping head between knees and sitting in such a way that the person looking might cast sight on knees with evil intention. I will avoid signaling to others and leaving the place for nothing. In order to respect knowledge of deen, I will kneel down for as long as possible. I will listen to the knowledge of deen attentively whilst keeping eyes downcast. The Madani pearls that I have given you are 10 in number from 2 to 12. Got this? You see, this is the core. People don't pay heed to it. It's the core of the process of learning Islamic studies. If you lack it, then you cannot learn knowledge of deen properly. You cannot pay attention to it. You should be completely alert and try to listen to it carefully. The one who hasn't sat kneeled down should do so now. Sitting kneel down refers to the way as you sit whilst reciting At-Tahiyyat. On listening to Sallu Alal Habib etc., I will reply it prominently in order to earn reward and encourage the one who uttered it. If one pronounces Sallu Alal Habib but doesn't hear any response, he'll be discouraged, won't he? He will feel bad. If we respond with loud voice, he'll get encouraged too. I'll provide somebody with space for sitting by getting aside if need be. If I got pushed, I'll remain patient. I will avoid quarreling and staring at other brothers. I will note down important points. I will recite Azza wa Jal Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi where necessary. I will avoid showing humbleness in such a way that my body embodies but my heart is devoid of it. After Madani Muzakira, I will pay salam, shake hands, make individual efforts for righteousness and keep smiling during conversation for acting upon sunnah. Throughout Madani Muzakira, I will keep my cell phone off. Furthermore, I will neither read any SMS nor send SMS to anyone. I will not check the missed calls either. If there is a small break, and during the break, you see the missed call in your cell phone, you may find somebody's number to whom you want to talk instantly. You will leave your place. As a result, you will not hear a few Madani pulls. It is possible that your close friend will ask you to meet him. This is possible. He will persuade and entice you into leaving the place. Consequently, you will leave the place to meet him. I advise that don't check the missed calls on your cell phone. What you are getting here right now at this time, perhaps, will hardly be found anywhere else. It's understood here we are getting knowledge of the deen, and excellence of knowledge is beyond expressions. Al-ilmu afdalu min al-ibadati. This is blessed hadith. It means knowledge is superior than worship. Knowledge refers to the knowledge of deen. I will add further intentions for myself. I'll show patience if question is asked in a harsh way. I'll answer only if I have definite answer to it. Otherwise, acting upon the sunnah of righteous predecessors, I'll say, I don't know this, I'm not aware of it, etc. In the end of a reply, I'll say, Allah Azza wa Jal knows the best and His beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wa Sallam knows the best. If I am rightly informed about my mistake, I will make up for it then and there. I will not speak unnecessary words and sentences. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal ma'u'izati al hasana. Translation from Kunzul Iman. Call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice. And there's a hadith of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Bukhari Sharif. Ballighu anni walau ayah. Convey on my behalf even if it's a single verse. I will carry out both of these commands. I will advise righteousness and forbid evils. Before speaking difficult Arabic and English words and couplets, I will concentrate on the sincerity of my heart. If I find tendency to impress people with knowledge, I will either not speak or try to correct the intention. I will persuade people into Madani Qafilas, Madani In'amat, Madrasatul Madina, Darul Madina, and visit to the local vicinity for the invitation towards righteousness. For getting into the habit of protecting eyes from evil sight, I'll try my best to keep eyes lowered. I will prevent myself and others from laughter. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Zamanum Faridullah Attari Zab Peshawar Rihayshima Amir al-Rasul Nazamu da sawal le Chicha ji pehla wadai Ya agab pehla dawat cha labor gai.
He has asked a question. When somebody marries, who should he invite first?
Who did you give invitation to your marriage first? Please tell this as well. You see, it makes no sense if parents are given formal invitation because they are the ones who actually fix the marriage. Is there any classification in terms of kindness? Such as first invite parents, then siblings? I've never read anything like this. You know, situation varies from case to case. I mean, if you do not give parents invitation and you think they'll be angry, then you should say to them that please manage all the things. The word invitation for them does not seem good to use. Say to them, please manage the whole event. Speak to them with words of wisdom so as to keep them pleased. The word invitation implies you are not part of their family. Like I was called guest in Khule Ankh Salli Ala. Don't know what word they use now. I said to them on a lighter note, if I'm invited and I'm called guest, then I'll be angry and perhaps fight. Does it make sense to call me a guest in my own house? Dawat-e-Islami is mine. Madani channel is mine. Would I be called a guest? And then, you know, some brother used to say before, it is nice of Amir Ahl-e-Sunnah to bless us with time to meet. Nigran-e-Shura gave us time. I made them understand that they should not say like this. This is my own house. Definitely I'll come here. Had I been a guest, I would have given you time. You see, I'm conducting Madani Muzakara now. Should anybody be grateful to me for giving time to conduct it? In fact, it's nice of you that you come here and listen to me. You know, this is what I actually remain busy with. The more number of people come, more I get pleased. Family members are not guests. It does not make sense to give your parents an invitation. They'd be in a shock. Parents do not like that their son gives them just an invitation. Son should request his parents to manage the whole event and ask them to let him know what he is supposed to do under their supervision. This should be the way of invitation. Keep it in your mind. You see, the thing is, one should treat people as per their status and their ranks. As it is said, أَنزَلُنْ نَاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. It means that one should deal with people as per their rank, status, dignity and relation that you have with them. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلُّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ.
Honorable Sheikh, here I want to request you that Alhamdulillah, you guide us, so we should pay gratitude to you. Alhamdulillah, you guide us in every aspect of life. You teach us how to eat, drink water, get up, sit, walk, sleep, wake up, pay visit, run business, and the matters concerning Iman, social affairs, worship, and everything, Alhamdulillah. We must pay gratitude to you.
Here, I want to ask you one thing. Should one talk about somebody's excellence again and again, publicly in presence of that person? Please don't do this. To praise somebody in his presence, in fact, spoils him. It should not be done. You know, the fact is, I cannot avoid it. When I say something like this, it's taken as humbleness. I'm telling you honestly, sometimes, in fact every time when I hear somebody talking about my excellence and speaking well of me, I do not like it and feel really sad. Lest may it be said to me on the day of judgment, you heard your excellences, so you were given reward in the world. Every muballigh used to speak well of you publicly. Why didn't you stop them strictly? I feel fear. Lest may it be said, what do you have now? You were blessed with such respect that was not even given to the great kings, prime ministers or presidents of your country. Prime ministers and presidents rule for 5 or 10 years and they do not have support of a large number of people, and those who pretend to respect them want some designation, favor or permission to get license for something. I fear lest may it be said to me, you were given such people who respected you, who sacrificed their wealth for you, who were ready to sacrifice their life for you and craved to look at you and shake your hand. What gratitude did you pay for that respect you gained? What if I'm asked this on the day of judgment? I fear a lot lest may I get stuck on the day of judgment. May it not be a deception for me. May all this that I'm seeing here not be a deception. You know, everybody speaks well of me and I fear talking about this matter because it's considered as my excellence. Subhanallah, how humble he is. He's so humble by nature. People consider it as another excellence of mine. Honestly speaking, sometimes I feel shocked when I hear somebody speaking well of me. I sometimes switched off Madani channel as I was being praised, so switched it off. I want to listen to the excellence of knowledge of Deen and commands of Allah and the sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But you know, every muballigh begins praising me even in the middle by his own way. If I become proud, then it would lead me to hell. This is a trial for me. How can I protect myself from becoming proud? I am after all a human being. I sometimes listen to what he said next. Everybody has inner soul. Who doesn't like being admired? Don't do this. It's my request. Are you getting my point? You see, I take the name of Dawat-e-Islami and the publication department as a part of strategy. I want you to stop praising my name so the names of Dawat-e-Islami and Maktabatul Madina become famous. Say these names, not my name. Whilst talking about my VCDs, cassettes, books and booklets, even I recite my couplets without mentioning my name. I just say, somebody has said, Alhamdulillah, I mean, just leave me. Don't mention my excellence. You praise me such as, MashaAllah, my Shaykh does this, he sacrifices that thing. What do you get from these brothers? Say this, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. I don't want you to just praise me. Until I'm alive and after my death, my organization must not stop. My organization must continue even after my death. This is my wish. Don't speak my excellences. Mention blessings of Allah and excellences of His beloved Habib. This is worship. Talk about the excellences of friends of Allah and Islamic legends as well. Don't talk about my excellences. Don't consider it as my humbleness. These are true sincere sentiments of my heart. Believe it or not, I by Almighty sometimes fear a lot of my excellences. In case I get stuck and suffer on Judgment Day. If asked what gratitude did you pay for respect given to you, I'll have no answer. I cannot tell you how lazy I am. Neither proper worship nor recitation nor any other thing I can do. All this is just showing off. May Allah bless my heart with insight. Although I have become famous, my heart is still in dark. Believe it, only if the heart gets enlightened. Let me tell you a blessed hadith. The one who is admired in the worldly or religious matters gets ruined. Such as a political leader, MNA or MPA who is affluent or the one who has achieved lots of academic degrees. For example, a famous doctor or officer like major, colonel, general, notable or dignitary. The public speaks well of him. You know very well. He is an officer. Lots of Islamic brothers sometimes try to make contact with officers as well as prosperous people. I sometimes laugh that their respect depends on their post. If one loses that post, nobody will give him any importance. This is a fact. Nobody will care about him. The public respects such officers as long as they are in the office. Later, they won't have regard for them. You know, if they're made to leave office or they're sacked. Many presidents have been appointed. Do you remember the name of any former president? If you do, tell me where are they now? Some former presidents are still alive. Where are they? Such people are respected just for the time being. They should not have delusion. If the Prime Minister or the President is listening to me and they mind these comments, they should eat half roti less. We persuade people into eating less. Prices are high. Anyways, I'm telling you the truth, what I've seen with my own eyes. The President for whom public once chanted, "Long live Mr. President," later chanted, "Down with the President." The one who used to be esteemed is now being burnt in effigy. Such a person is seen being beaten with shoes. I mean, he is disgraced and brought down from office. He has to run in order to save his life. Yes, he faces death threat. My life is at risk. You see, the thing is, Alhamdulillah is because of my religious activities, not worldly matters. You know, my enemies have issues with me because I serve Islam. I say, Ya Rasulullah, I promote celebration of the birth of the Prophet and I do many things detestable to them, such as I advise people to keep beard. Why does he enliven masajid? And increases number of salah offering people. All these activities are the reason for their enmity, so they are desperate to eliminate me. After the moment I'm destined to die, I'll be no more. All protections will prove to be in vain. I will stay alive as long as I'm destined to live. Tonight I am speaking, don't know if I live tomorrow or not. People die of heart attack. One dies of a sudden fall of roof. An earthquake also claims death of hundreds and thousands of people. They collectively die. I won martyrdom in Medina with Iman whilst beholding the vision of my master. This is my wish. You know, good wish earns a person reward. One dies where he is destined to die. May Allah give all of us death with Iman. May all of us die whilst reciting Kalima and beholding the Prophet. This prayer is also worship, it earns one reward. So I humbly request the staff and people working at Madani Channel and Muballighin not to talk about my activities in this way. It's done as a matter of routine, so it gives an impression that there's an understanding that every Muballigh must speak well of me. As far as comments are concerned, you know, it's my observation that people are told to speak nice comments about Ilyas Qadri, that he is this and that. Furthermore, all commentators praise me in their comments. I take it as a conspiracy against me. I appeal you to end this conspiracy. By Lord, I am a sinner. So don't do it, lest may I go arrogant. You see, an arrogant person suffers badly. Save me from suffering. There are many narrations about praising somebody in his presence, in which it is prohibited to praise somebody in his presence. It's mentioned in hadith that praise somebody with these words that I have good opinion on him, that such sort of person that man is. There are conditions for praising somebody in his presence. I do not say it completely haram or impermissible. It has some conditions. Who knows the conditions? As for what these conditions are and what sort of a person one is to be praised on face, this is another chapter, got it? Read about it in Ihya'ul Ulum to get to know how one should praise a person, what sort of a person one should praise in his presence, and who one should praise in his absence. You will get to know about it in details. Somebody may say, the one who praises you on Madani Channel does not do in your presence. You know, I watch Madani Channel occasionally. I watch it so it can't be called praise in absence. Some Muballighin try to find something related to me and present it as an anecdote, so that slogans of Subhanallah is chanted. Well, they love it. Muballigh does not help but talk about me or mention me during delivering bayan. This is what I have noted lots of times. Furthermore, I am quoted as saying something that I have never spoken. One misunderstands it. You know, somebody says that I've spoken this and that. Honestly, I have no idea when I spoke it. What's that? It's possible that he heard from an authentic source, or I forgot it, as I can't remember everything that I speak. Well, you know, speeches of the friends of Allah are quoted, such as Ghawth-e Pak stated that if my statement is quoted, there's huge difference between both these. Everybody will accept what was stated by Ghawth-e Pak. We can understand it. Only a few people will accept what Ilyas says. Very few will accept. This is understood. Every Sunni will accept what was stated by Ghawth-e Pak. Whereas, having listened to comments about me, some Sunni ulama wrote to me, stop them. They mostly talk about your personality. What can I do? When I stop them, they take it as my humbleness. They say about me, Amir-e Ahl-e Sunnat is very humble as well as modest by nature. In this way, more comments are passed about me. I mean, I'm praised very much. Where should I go? Medina. Where else will we have shelter? Somebody goes to London, somebody goes to America. The lover of Medina goes to Medina, inshaAllah.
Shor fikr duniya ki, chal Medine chalte hain. Shor fikr duniya ki, shor fikr duniya ki, chal Medine chalte hain. Mustafa ghulamon ki ghulamon, Mustafa ghulamon ki, kismatein badalte hain. Mustafa ghulamon ki kismatein badalte hain. Chhod dikr duniya ki.
بس چل مدینے
چل مدینے
چل مدینے
چلتے
ہیں
چھوڑ
نکلے
دنیا کی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
This is Muhammad Naseem. My father's name is Abdul Hassan. I'm from India. I work in Saudi Arabia. Sometime I watch Madni channel when I have free time. I cannot do it much due to hectic schedule. Your Madni channel is very good. I pray for it. May Allah make it progress more. I pay salam to Honorable Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat. Sometimes I watch Madni channel when I have free time.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My father is suffering from paralysis and Bell's palsy. Please pray for him. I request you to pray for me as well.
May Allah make your father recover fully. May Allah bless him with a long healthy life. May he spend his life acting upon Sunnah. Paralysis and Bell's palsy are two different diseases. In paralysis, a patient loses feeling his half body. Perhaps in Bell's palsy, muscles on one side of the face become weak. Possibly he has both diseases. May the Almighty Allah bless your father with complete health. May he recover. May Allah forgive you. May he make you travel with Madani Kafilas if you don't do. May he make you become Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami if you are not. May he bless you more if you are Muballigh. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
دس از محمد عبید رضا اتاری. آئی ایم اسپیکنگ ٹو یو فرام بلدیا ٹاؤن مہاجر کیمپ نمبر 3. دیئر از اے ریکویسٹ ٹو امیر السنت. او مائی سیدی، ایڈوائز می وظیفہ ٹو کرائی آؤٹ آف فیئر آف اللہ. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. You have said, my name is Muhammad Ubaid Raza. You should do one thing. Keep your name Muhammad and use Ubaid Raza as first name. Don't say my name is Ubaid Raza. Ubaid is the short form of Abd. Abd refers to the fact of being a very humble slave. And Raza refers to Ala Hazrat. So Ubaid Raza means a humble slave of Ala Hazrat. Thus, it doesn't make sense to name Muhammad Ubaid Raza. So say my name is Ubaid Raza. Or say my name is Muhammad. And you can call me Ubaid Raza, my first name. There is a book, Jahan-e-Mufti-Azam, written by Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. An anecdote was written in the book. Listen up. A Maulana or a common man paid a visit to Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. During conversation, he mentioned his name. My name is Muhammad Ghulam Asi. Asi was a pious man in the past, right? The man's name was Muhammad Ghulam Asi. Mufti Azam Hind told him, your name is unsuitable. He argued. He stated, don't people name Muhammad Abdullah? He stated, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is no doubt bondman of Allah. He is surely bondman of Allah, but can never be slave of Asi. In fact, Asi is slave of Muhammad, right? You see, we should know what first name is suitable to name somebody after Muhammad. Before every first name, we add the word Muhammad without thinking. Your children should be named Muhammad, but when calling out, the name Muhammad must not be pronounced. If name of someone is, you know, such before that the word Muhammad is not suitable, avoid adding the word Muhammad. Keep the name Muhammad to get blessings and show reverence for the name and take your first name whilst introducing. You know, normally people do not call you with Muhammad Ubaid Raza, right? Ubaid. They call you. People don't usually call others with their full name. It is not obligatory either to call anybody with his full name if meaning of the name doesn't go wrong. People called each other with patronymic in the era of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Instead of name, they would call others with their patronymic. It's sunnah to keep patronymic, but now people don't have. It's sunnah for Muslims, Islamic sisters and brothers, to keep patronymic. Some people of you would like me to suggest some patronymic. it's not necessary to ask anyone to suggest it. Choose patronymic with the intention of Sunnah. I have chosen Abu Bilal with the intention of Sunnah. Bilal is my son's name and Abu means father. It also refers to ownership. So Abu Bilal means father of Bilal. You know, I first thought to choose Abu Raza because my eldest son's name was Ahmad Raza that I changed later. Owing to strategy and wisdom, I tell you, the thing is, my eldest son whose name was Ahmad Raza would get famed, and we already have Ahmad Raza, the well-known scholar. So the public might be perplexed because of the same name. We are glad with being slave of Ala Hazrat. Indeed, name of my eldest son is Ubaid Raza. It means the humble slave of Raza. The name Ahmad was given to him for blessings and mercies. His name is not Ahmad Ubaid Raza. His name is Ahmad. We call him Ubaid Raza, right? The name Ahmad cannot be used with Ubaid Raza. Had I named my son Ahmad Ubaid Raza, it would have been incorrect. Instead, my son's name is Ahmad. And we call him Ubaid Raza. It's not necessary to ask me to suggest the patronymic. Choose patronymic by yourself with the intention. I've just told you Abu also refers to ownership. You may choose Abul Wafa as a patronymic. It means the man of loyalty. It doesn't mean father of loyalty. Abu Huraira is also a patronymic. Almost everybody does not know his name. Does anyone know his name? We'll get to know if asked. However, there's dissension about his name. You see, the thing is, there is a popular opinion that his name was Abdul Rahman. He became famous with his patronymic because he had a cat. Abu Huraira means the one who has a cat. Abu Turab means possessor of soil, not father of soil. It's the patronymic of Mawla Mushkil Kusha. He was fortunate that Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave him the patronymic Abu Turab. He was proud of it. He also liked it very much because Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had given it. Subhanallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is quoted in Blessings of Sunnah, Volume 1, on page number 176, that Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Amr bin As, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, stated, the one who recites this dua 3 times whilst leaving a gathering, his sins are forgiven. And the one who recites it in the gathering of righteousness and dhikr, it will become seal upon goodness for him. Let's recite it together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
مدنی مذاکرہ ہے شریعت کا خزینہ اخلاق کا تہذیب کا طریقت کا خزینہ مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ